Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the service. And I'm filling in, leading the service for Greg this morning. Greg rang me yesterday evening and had a tickle in his throat and doing the right thing, staying away. So Greg sends his greetings to everyone. Now, my perfect Saturday morning, not that I've done it for a long time, and I know we're on a Sunday, but normally a church on a Sunday morning, of course, but my best Saturday morning is on a day like this where there's a gorgeous breeze and you lift the lid off a beehive, because you've got some beehives, and you lift out one of the frames of honey and you can hold it up to the sun and the sun highlights the colour of all the different types of honey that are in the frame, and bees tend to work fairly layered. So you'll have, and of course as you're at our place, as the orange trees come and flower, you know, you'll have a nice red honey from the orange trees, what's around in the fruit orchard. Then the tea trees will come out and flower, so you'll have these veins of different coloured honey on your rectangular frame. And normally the last bit that they finish off is normally around just the top of the frame where you would lift it out. And it's always just amazing to see all the different colours. So that's my this weather I see is beautiful beekeeping weather. You know, the mornings are just gorgeous, nice breeze. This morning's Bible reading is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whenever then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. This is the word of God. Now, Greg's message this morning is holding on to the good news. If you had to distill down the essential elements of the gospel, what would you include? What are the key foundations of the Christian faith? Well, today, in a little bit, we will explore what Paul thought was the most important aspect of the good news. But just spend a second to think about what you might say if someone asks you that question. Before we look at Paul's understanding of this, we're going to take a look at the passage as a whole. Paul in this passage is dealing with an issue which has arisen in the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-11, he is setting up certain facts for 1 Corinthians 15, 12-34, where he will deal with the issue. The issue is that certain people in the church are denying that Christians will be resurrected. So Paul begins reminding the Corinthians of the gospel Paul preached and they accepted. In the social climate in Corinth, abandoning the traditional gods and rituals was a big deal, and so any member of the church had to make a strong stance. Otherwise, they would leave the Christian faith and go back to pagan worship. The Christians in Corinth were willing to face hardship to be followers of Christ. This shows how compelling the gospel was to them. Those in the Corinthian church had received the words of Paul, which he preached, and accepted Jesus and the Christian faith. Now, of course, the reason why they accepted the good news is because they came to realize the truth of Paul's words, "In Jesus we can be saved." It is true. Jesus does save us, and there is no other way forward for us to be saved. God has made a way for us to be saved, and it is through his Son, Jesus. Since the gospel is the way of salvation, Paul establishes the importance of holding on to the truth contained in it. So it's important that the Corinthian church and us keep firm in their and in our belief in what Paul has passed on. Now, Paul reminds them of the aspects of the Christian faith which is of first importance. So let's see how Paul answered the question I asked at the beginning. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Here we see three key facts. Jesus died so our sins could be forgiven. Number two, Jesus was buried. And three, Jesus was resurrected. If you ever hear a gospel which does not include these three facts, it is not the Christian faith being expressed. We might debate and discuss all manner of other beliefs, but these are the core foundations of the gospel. An interesting side note that Paul includes is that it is not something to be realized on his own. The truth was revealed to him. And as we know, Paul met with Jesus, which reminds his readers of in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. These are the central truths passed on to Paul by the resurrected Jesus Christ himself. So may we always hold on to these truths. It is because these things are true that we are saved. Now, there is one other thing Paul slipped in there, and that was that Jesus' death for our sins and his resurrection were according to Scripture. What this reminds us of is that Jesus' death and resurrection were the fulfillment of promises God made in the Old Testament. God promised to save his people through the ministry and kingship of the Messiah. Jesus' death and resurrection are not afterthoughts of God's plan, but were always an essential element of them. Now, as I said, Paul is reminding the Corinthians of these fundamental truths because he is going to deal with a false belief creeping in. So Paul spends the next four verses outlining the reliability of the testimony of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appeared to Peter, then the rest of the 12 disciples, with the exception of Judas, of course. After this, he appeared to over 500 followers at one time, then to his brother James, and then to everyone else who were personally commissioned by Jesus to spread the good news, and then finally to Paul. Paul adds in a little note that the believers can check this out for themselves, because he adds that in the most of the 500 believers who witnessed Jesus being resurrected are still alive. They could even do a bit of an investigation to find out themselves what these 500 said they saw, in addition to the 12 disciples and apostles. This is an important record of history, even for us today. The belief of Jesus' resurrection was not started by one person, or even the whole group of 12 disciples. This was an event witnessed by hundreds of people, which make Jesus' resurrection a much more reliable historical event. So Paul establishes that Jesus rose from the dead as an irrefutable fact. To finish off this passage, Paul takes a little detour. Having stated that he is the least of the apostles, Paul takes a minute to explain what he means by this. Paul is referring to the fact that Paul was the biggest opponent to Christ in Israel. He had set out his course to stamp out this false belief in this false Messiah with all zealousness, even giving his approval to the killing of one of Jesus' faithful followers, Stephen. Paul was responsible for much of the persecution of the first Christians. Paul didn't listen to their arguments with reason and came to the conclusion that Christians were right. Jesus had to strike him down in such a way to change his course in life. He was given a vision of Jesus, which he alone was privileged to get. So many other people opposing Jesus never got this special treatment. Therefore, Paul is acutely aware that was it not for the moment in his life, he might have never changed course. It was only by God's undeserved grace that he was saved. And not just undeserved, like you and me are undeserved. Undeserved because he had to have a special revelation, which almost all people do not get. So Paul felt particularly undeserving of his apostleship. And as Jesus revealed, the one who had been forgiven little loves little, but he who is forgiven much loves much. And so Paul worked harder than anyone else. I'm glad God did do this for Paul, because all of humanity has been blessed by it. Now there is one more thing I'd like us to get from this passage today. The gospel for each of us includes God's grace. God's grace is an essential foundation of the Christian faith. We all receive from God things we don't deserve, and we can all probably come up with reasons why we are especially undeserving of God's grace, like Paul does. The truth is, of course, we all need a lot of forgiveness. However, the God's grace doesn't stop at receiving of forgiveness. God's grace is a continual force active in our lives. As Paul says, it wasn't him which accomplished anything he has done. It is the grace of God which was with Paul that accomplished God's work through him. So Paul concludes this section with the words, 1 Corinthians 15:11. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preached, and this is what you believed. Paul brings an aligning of his ministry with that of the apostles. Every apostle, every disciple has preached the same message with the same call. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised from the dead. But we see that Paul adds to this, and we continue in faith by the grace of God, which is with us. The grace of God is with you too. So hold on to the faith which saves. Amen.